Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as once again we face the issues. Lest I forget, let me remind you that you can join in this dialogue and discussion. Jump in any place, anytime you feel led of the Lord to do so. Put in your, as one called it on one occasion, put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your dialogue and discussion, your question, your comments on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today, America, a post-Christian nation. We'll be delving into some of the things that indicate we have left a Christian moral standard in America. We've deflected and we have rejected the truth of the Word of God so long now that we've become acclimated, I believe, as a nation, even our pulpits today acclimated to the general consensus and the thought that somehow, some way, we can do nothing about it. We need to not say anything about the sodomite lifestyle. We need to not say anything about what's being taught to our kids in our public school system, where they're being brainwashed and indoctrinated rather than trained academically. That's the reason little Johnny can't read today, is because he's taught more about sex education, as it is called, than he's taught about math and science and English and reading. Most of our kids today getting out of high schools, especially in some of our northeastern states, public schools, they graduate from high school with a 12th grade diploma, but with about a 5th grade education, if that. And it's because we have left the moral standard, the ethical standard that our nation was founded on. We've left the fundamental foundation of our nation's founding fathers and what we formerly were as a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so from a central Biblicist worldview. A central Biblicist worldview simply means that we look at everything through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? By the way, let me just make a little footnote here. If you want to know something about the Word of God, if you want to study a chapter in the Bible, a single chapter that talks about the Word of God, the statutes of the Word of God, guidelines for Scripture, study Psalms 119. Psalms 119, I believe it's 175 verses in Psalms 119, and it talks about the Word of God, the different terms, the terminology that's used for the Word of God. And we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts, as David said, that it might not sin against thee. But we have left that standard, and once we've left that standard, ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer a Christian nation. Now, I understand fully. We have Christian churches. We still have Christians in America today. But for the most part, that which is called Christianity today is marginal, if I can use that term, marginal Christianity. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians called the believers at Corinth carnal. That word carnal simply means fleshly. You're following what the flesh says rather than what the Word of God says. And we'll be talking about that today. Love to have your dialogue, your input, your conversation about the discussion today. It's a very serious discussion, a very serious point that I want to make today, and I'm praying that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion. As we face the issues from a central Biblicist worldview, we're talking about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." That word indeed means truly. Jesus says, if you continue, stay constant, be in my word, that's the word of God, then you are my disciples truly, surely, Absolutely. That is an indication, ladies and gentlemen, of being a disciple, a follower, a learner, a student for Jesus. Then he goes on to say in that text, and you shall know the truth. How do we know the truth? Staying in the Word constantly, continually, being in the Word. How do we know the truth of the Word of God? Constantly following the Lord Jesus Christ as a disciple indeed. And the truth shall make you free. A lot of people that will quote the latter portion of those two verses just says the truth will make you free. What is truth? What is truth? We need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. And we look at the scripture in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am truth. And further he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. A lot of people today that disavow, disagree, and diss what is called truth. It is the secularist George Orwell that said many years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Not only, ladies and gentlemen, as we go further and further from the truth, and I'm talking about the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, in part, but I'm talking about, in general, truth, ladies and gentlemen. The further we get from truth, not only will the society hate us that speak it, but there will be a non-recognition of truth. We have blurred the line so much in America today as to what is real truth. Most do not recognize truth if it jumped up and slapped them in the face. The Communist Network News is not going to give you truth. MSNBC is not going to give you truth. ABC, CBS, and even Fox, you will not find truth, generally speaking. It is not sought after in D.C. It's not sought after by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, BLM, Democratic Party. It is farthest thing from their vocabulary to talk about truth. They will twist the truth, pervert the truth, and prevaricate about the truth, ladies and gentlemen, but it doesn't make it truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement, and I prize the statement. He says, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hang on to that thought during the course of this broadcast today. The Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. That is the book of truth. How are we handling it? What are we doing? How are we disseminating it? What are we saying from our pulpits and our churches and with the Christian leaders in America? How are we disseminating the truth of the Bible? Further, DeMint says, if you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are the custodians of the Bible as a church, we are, as Christians, we are, we're the custodians of it. Are we communicating the truth of what it says to others? Are we cowering in the corner with fear that somehow, some way, we might be dissed or demeaned or in some way shouted down because we're speaking the truth of the Word of God? This is the reason the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus made this powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth. Love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge us today, as I do each and every day on this broadcast, during this portion of my opening monologue, I challenge us today as Christians. You hear me? If you're listening today and you claim to be a saved person, a Christian, seek the truth, not just what somebody might say. Like the Berean Christians in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, they basically wanted to search the scriptures to see if what was being preached and taught was true. When a pastor, preacher, teacher stands in a pulpit any place, any denomination, and proclaims what is called the Bible, seek to study the Bible and see if it be true, what is being taught. And understand that we're living in the era that when we stand for truth and speak the truth, we are going to, in many cases, many events, we're going to put our lives on the line. And the longer we live, the more we stand as a nation. And I see us crumbling from within, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the foundation being eviscerated, totally annihilated, totally destroyed. The warp and woof of society, that's the fabric of society, has been absolutely stretched to the point that it is tearing now, and it's tearing away the foundation. And the scripture is very clear in Psalms 11 and verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the home with the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment. They have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where can I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole. I'm told it's about 165 feet in the air. Old Glory, the U.S. flag, is flying 24-7 over the campus of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news today. Tools for Time is now hiring in all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the employees and their families to worship God in the house of God as God ordained it for the Christian families. So drop by Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, 11291 Old St. Augustine. Drop by and complete an application for employment. Wait for an interview and see what God does with placing you there in the home of the Tools for Time people at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, America was birthed as a Christian nation. I understand a lot of people that will remonstrate against that and say that we're not a Christian nation. In fact, it was Barack Hussein Obama that said America is not a Christian nation. Never mind the fact that we have declined dramatically from the Christian principles that we're founded on. We're in a post-Christian era today, but we're founded as a Christian nation, ladies and gentlemen. America is a nation that once stood proud in our schools, in our academic systems of yesteryear, and I'm part of that, we'd go to school, and I'm still less than 100 years old, we'd go to school Monday through Friday. First thing would be a call to prayer. The teacher would stand and ask us to stand beside our desk and pray. And generally, the teacher would lead in praying what is called the Lord's Prayer. Immediately following that, then, would be the teacher reading from the Bible, reading a passage of Scripture to the students. Now, that's unheard of today. In fact, some of you may not realize that is the historical past of the academic system in America. Maybe you do not recognize and understand that that was once part of the fundamental foundation of academic education and the educational system in America. We would have the teacher reading from the Scripture a passage of Bible, passage of the Scripture text, and then talking about it to the students. And then we would stand and pledge an allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the pledge to the flag has been dismissed as being archaic and fundamentally unsound. The pledge to the flag today has been deemed to be harmful and hurtful for those that may be coming in from other parts of the world that hate America. Today, ladies and gentlemen, prayer is not acceptable in the public school system. In fact, it hadn't been but a few years ago since right here in the state of Florida, a fifth grade school teacher was reprimanded because his Bible was laying on the top of his desk, and he was challenged that if he didn't put it in his desk drawer, it could lead to his being dismissed, suspended, or fired from school teaching as a school teacher right here in the state of Florida. It was challenged, and the courts ruled that if that Bible were to be left on the teacher's desk and inadvertently a student were to open it and read it, it could cause irreparable harm and psychological damage to that child, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are as a nation today. We have turned our backs on God. We have rejected the Word of God. We have, in some fashion, determined that we do not need God and His wisdom to guide us. I'm looking at an article that says when the path of economic development deviates from the ethics and morality, an economic crisis may follow. A society that is merely wealthy is not only incapable of bringing joy and happiness, but its prosperity will also be short-lived. As the foundation of ethics and morality crumbles, a disastrous outcome awaits that nation. Further, this article states crime rates in our biggest cities are soaring. Children are being taught sexually explicit content in school. People are encouraged to judge each other by the color of their skins rather than the content of their character and their hearts, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today. That's what's happening in our nation. And what I'm finding so distressing and so powerfully, recognizable, is the fact that you hear no one talking about it. You hear sometimes on some of the news outlets, it talks about some of these horrible things taking place in public schools. We hear about the rapes and the robberies and the things that are taking place on the streets and the highways and hedges in our great nation. We hear sometimes an outcry about little Johnny can't read, et cetera, et cetera. But we never get to the rudimentary, fundamental, foundational problem that's bringing this all about. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say that it's because of what we've done in our fall, morally, ethically, and spiritually, in our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, in the 1960s, when the Supreme Court ruled that the Bible could no longer be read in the public schools, it was banned, and that God no longer could be mentioned in the governmentally controlled schools. So today, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, Johnny simply can't read. Our educational system is now a bastion of indoctrination, not academic education. Indoctrination from kindergarten through high school and right on up to our colleges and universities. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that the schools are no longer teaching academia. It's focused on an immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyle. In fact, I find it absolutely mind-boggling, ladies and gentlemen, when we discover that we have a sewer system that's being taught to our children to hate God in our public school system. I call it a sewer system where our children are being taught to hate God and to submit to government. And now we're living in a society where it's simply in a cancel culture where anything goes. Anything goes. I'm looking at an article that illustrates that, ladies and gentlemen. This article should frighten every parent, every grandparent. Oregon's, that's the state of Oregon, Oregon's top children's hospital teaches young boys how to tuck their genitals, direct kids to go to sex shops online. Dateline, March 18th. The children's hospital, it gives the name of it, Dorenberger Hospital, Children's Hospital in Portland, Oregon, is under fire after disseminating materials instructing children to tuck their genitals and to put their male body parts hiding. Tucking is not just for the males, they said in this article. Hospitals assure it is instructional and an instructional guide for both sexes. Tucking is moving parts of the body out of the way. This makes the genital area look smoother and flatter, the document notes. Tucking can reduce any concerns that you may have about your body, how your clothes may fit more safely, and how you may look in public. People of all genders can tuck, this article says. The guide includes a disclaimer warning readers that using the terminology may be offensive to some. This information uses the words, and it goes on about sexual body parts for males. We know you may not use these terms to identify them. We use them here to refer to body parts that people need to know about tucking, while understanding those words are not for everyone. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a children's hospital. This is where young boys and girls, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, this is where young kids are in the hospital, and they're being taught by the hospital staff how to carry out a modification of who they are sexually so that they will not appear to be male, but will appear to be neuter, if you will, and not have any sexuality distinction. It's because at a young age, we're indoctrinating our boys and our girls in that sodomite, LGBTQ demonic lifestyle that's destroying our educational system, destroying the families in America today, because it's ungodly, it's unholy, it is demonic, but it's being done. And how do you think that we need to respond? When's the last time you heard someone with a fiery message from a pulpit challenging these issues and talking about what is happening, how we're destroying the young men and young women, the boys and girls in our nation today? I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please. Hello? Tom, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now.
Yes. I've got two issues I'd like to talk to you about, and I really thank you for taking my call. One is the seats in my aircraft. The cloth has rotted. It's just worn out. And the price I got to fix them was $1,800. And I didn't flinch at that till after I took them over there, and I've waited about a week. And I got to thinking, Dr. Youngblood, I tie the total about $2,400 a year. And that's mighty close to the $1,800. If Jesus checks my bank account, do you think he might say something to me about it, that the most important thing in life should be our work for him? Shouldn't my bank account show where my tithing is, where my heart's at, and it's the most that I spend my money for? What's your thoughts on that?
You touched on a very important fundamental issue when it comes to Christian belief, Christian teaching, Christian theology, and the fundamentals of Christianity today. There are a lot of people that will say tithing is not in the Bible. I beg to differ. Some that say tithing was because of the law. Well, tithing was first found in Genesis, the 14th chapter, before the law was given. In Matthew 23:23, the Lord Jesus commends tithing, and yet we have those today that will say it's not in the Scripture. A tithe, T-I-T-H-E, means a tenth of what we have coming in. And I have heard it said, and I will repeat the statement because I believe it to be true. If you want to know if a person's, where a person's heart is, look at his check register. Where does he write his checks? What gets the greatest portion of his income? Is it for God and for godly expenditures and use, or is it for buying toys and for doing things that are outside the realm of what God would have us to do? And I believe that that answers the question. On one occasion, one individual said, I'm not going to use God's money anymore to fix my motorcycle, because he had been spending God's tithe on repairing the motorcycle, and each time he'd repair the motorcycle, it would break down and something else would cost him. And he discovered that the expenditure to fix the motorcycle was equal to, if not greater than, that which he was taking from God rather than tithing. So it's a very real, real issue. And I commend you for recognizing that. And I think that the mark of a Christian should be found not only in his worship, in his attendance, but also in how he spends his money. If we rob God, Malachi the third chapter talks about that, robbing God. How can we rob God and then ask God to bless us? It's an impossibility. And yet multitudes of Christians today are robbing God and wondering why they can never make ends meet. So it's a very relevant question, and I pray that that has been instructive and beneficial in the answer. Tom, thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep on serving the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today America, a post-Christian nation. We're not saying that America is not a Christian nation. We were founded that way, but we're living in a post-Christian era, a era where Christianity and spirituality and godliness and biblical directives have been absolutely obliterated and ignored in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, in our school system, as I said earlier, we're looking at a school system that's an incubator for indoctrination rather than academic instruction in our system. I call it the sewer system today, in teaching our children to hate God and submit to government. And now we're living in that society where it's simply the cancel culture, where anything about God, anything about freedom, anything about the Bill of Rights, anything about that which has moral, ethical standards are simply rejected and tossed into the waste can as instructional and being refused to be admitted in the classroom. All that's immoral, all that's unholy, all that's ungodly, all that's unbiblical are simply considered as norm today. I believe we, as the old cliche goes about putting a frog in a pot of water, putting that pot of water on the boiler plate of your kitchen range and turning it up a little at a time, that frog will boil to death because it doesn't realize how hot it's getting. And I believe we're boiling to death as a nation today because we've become desensitized to the immoral, ungodly, unholy things that's taking place in our schools, in our educational system, in our military system, in our hospital medical system, in our political system. Everything that we see today in our nation has been tainted and undermined by an immoral, ungodly, unholy mindset in our great nation today. Across America, parents, mainly mothers, are now confronting school boards and school systems with what is being taught in our public schools. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. But as one person recently put it, and I'll touch on that article before the broadcast closes today, I'm thankful to see mama bears, as they're called, standing up before the boards of education and challenging teachers and school boards. But where are the papa bears? Where are the dads? Where are the men that need to stand for morals and ethics and values in our nation? Where are the dads that's willing to take a stand and say, this is wrong? I see very, very few dads going before school boards and challenging the unholy, immoral, ungodly material that's being taught in our schools. I see very few dads standing on the platform and saying, this is what we ought to do in relationship to turning back to God. I see very few dads, very few men running for public office today that have a biblical compass that says, this is what God's word says, and I'm going to stand on it. I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen before it's eternally too late as a nation. I'm looking at an article. It says, angry parent reads sexually charged passage from high school library book to the school board. The school board members cut her off and say that children could be listening. Now listen to this article, dated March 23rd. An angry parent read a sexually charged passage from a high school library book to a Georgia public school board on Thursday, making the point that the book's content is inappropriate for children. But upon hearing the parent read the steamy words from the book entitled Homegoing, a Cherokee County school board member cut the angry parent off. Why did they cut her off? Well, PJ Media reported that the board member, Patsy Jordan, said that what the parent was reading from the book was inappropriate for the parent to read the passage since the meeting was being streamed online and children could be watching or listening, end quote. Quote, don't you find this to be irony? The parent shot back at Jordan. You're saying exactly what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children. I would never give this to any child of mine. You're saying that we're embarrassing you. Well, you're embarrassing us. You're embarrassing our children. It's okay. It's not okay to embarrass us. You're supposed to be giving them safe space in school. These books, I can't even email them to you. I can't say the words. They shouldn't be in the school at all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just, and we're hearing more and more and more across the nation where moms in particular, in some cases dads, are coming before the school boards and chiding and challenging and in some cases removing the school board members by vote in the community because of the pornography, the raw garbage, the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, the CRT critical race theory material, and the 1619 project that undermines the fundamental foundational values of our nation. All of these things are being taught in our public schools, and I'm thankful to see these standing before the school boards and chiding them. But did you know the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland written a 28-page document, sent it to the FBI, asking the FBI to investigate parents that challenge the school board because these parents that challenge the school board are now deemed to be domestic terrorists? That's how we're treating the fundamentals in our nation today. That's how we're treating moms and dads, parents that will stand and challenge and chide school board members for destroying the morals and the ethics and the values and the hearts and the lives of these boys and girls in the school. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a son or daughter, if you have a grandkid in the public school today, I say take them out. Let them grow up to be academic dummies if necessary, rather than putting them in the incubator that's going to destroy the morals, the ethics, and the values in their hearts and lives. It is more profitable to have a child that loves Jesus and does not necessarily have all of the academic skills that you'd find in some places in the world. I challenge you to understand the seriousness of what we're finding today in our public school system, and it covers the warp and the woof in the total fabric of society today, where the immoral, ungodly, unholy things are being considered normal. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll have the top of the hour news, and we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Let's face the issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.